You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You know, I don't often gush. I usually play it cool on this here show, but I am very, very, very excited to have one old friend and one new friend back in the country. We have in the studio Jim White and Maurice Anderson. Kia ora, how are you?
Doing all right.
Welcome.
G'day, Matthew.
And welcome back, Jim. Now, Maurice, apologies if I have mispronounced your name at any point. I'll be spreading the word that this, I am not talking to Marissa. She's not here. She's elsewhere. This is Marissa Anderson, one of the finest guitarists of the innovative realms in this world, I have to say. And Jim White, drummer extraordinaire. You've been in a couple of bands, eh?
Couple.
Yeah, Duty 3, and you've played on some of my favourite records and. We told you this before, but Moonpix, Cat Power, you've played on some Bonnie Prince Billy stuff I love, and I think you were here first probably with the Dirty Three, but separately with Nina Nastasia Once Upon a Time, and Zaluris White, your other duo.
Yep.
So welcome back.
I think Cat Power, we played at this radio station, one of their concerts.
Oh, that makes sense.
Probably around the Moonpix era.
Yeah, one of the orientations, maybe. And I think Dirty 3 might have played at the power station.
Well, Dirty 3 did the whole orientation with the Yellow Tango, the whole
right.
Five Cities thing. Is that the same thing?
Probably, yeah, at some point. So you're a seasoned professional. You're probably pointing Marissa, who's never been here, around. But have you wanted to come here before, Marissa?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to come to New Zealand.
Oh, we love hearing that. We pretend... to be humble, but we just love hearing how much you want to come here. It's nice. We're very far away.
Yeah, it was a long plane ride.
You're welcome. And I've just heard that you live next to a friend of ours here in New Zealand, Sam Hamilton.
That's right. Sam is a friend and neighbour.
Nice.
And seems to know everybody, and everybody knows him, which is pretty nice.
He certainly does. So this is awesome. So how the two of you meet? You've made two records together. Two beautiful records together. We're listening to some of it right now. We're listening to Swallowtail, which was released in 2024. How did this come about?
We originally went on tour together, Zaluris White, the band I have with Cretan lute player George Zaluris, and Marissa playing solo. We travelled around America quite a few years ago now.
It's been a while. 10 years ago, more than 10.
As a double bill.
Yeah.
And that's how we actually met. You know, it was presented, from our end, it was presented by an agent.
Yeah.
And we listened and we wanted to do that. And then, I got to hear Marissa over that tour and we got to know each other.
Yeah. I would say, you know, in the 90s, I spent a good amount of time living in my car and I had a tape that was two different Dirty Three records.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that music was or like how it came to be, but I had this tape and I didn't have a lot of tapes, but I had a lot of time. So I listened to it a lot. And then, yeah, so fast forward a couple decades, riding around with Jim. Jim sat in the front and DJed, and I sat in the back with George, and he showed me videos of like his family playing music in Crete.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like I learned everything I needed to know about Jim by his DJ choices, because I had this picture in my head that was not who he turned out to be, you know? And then from there, we just became friends and then stayed friends. And then we always talked about like, oh, we should do something, you know, when time allows. And we wanted to build, we really intentionally wanted to build a project that had no stress involved in it.
Yeah.
So we wanted to avoid scheduling conversations. We wanted to avoid like rehearsal scenarios. So we're like, okay, let's do something and let's not tell anybody that we're doing it. And then if we like it, we'll do the next step of it. So we met in Mexico City and booked a totally random studio and went in for a week and just played. And we had never played together at that point.
Well, so you hadn't even sort of snuck up on stage during the tour or anything like that. There hadn't been any sort of hint of it. I like that.
Yeah. So almost everything that we've ever played together has been on a stage or in a recording studio.
Yeah.
We have spent very, very little time.
We've been very successful in being stress-free.
Yes, I think we have.
We have.
Until you met the promoters of New Zealand who, like, sends you 100 emails being like, oh, can you just tell me one more thing?
One thing I always felt was that we really shared a lot of, like, music, like, love of certain kinds of music.
Like touch points sort of.
We really came from different places.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. You know, I come from like this music scene in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And Marisa comes from like playing guitar.
I don't even know.
Like somewhere in Northern California or something. And, but we do have this, and it's really, as I've got to know her playing more, I really feel like we have a way of playing that really makes, it's got some little similarities, but we definitely came to it from a different way, I think.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
What were the songs that Jim was DJing that you remember that sold you?
He had a pretty deep knowledge of like American country music.
Oh.
And that surprised me because most Americans don't have that. As well as he had, in my opinion and in my memory, like a pretty deep appreciation for like singer-songwritery things, which like, you know, you wouldn't necessarily listen to the Dirty Three and be like, oh, this drummer like appreciates like a beautiful
song. Oh, you're not thinking of the other Jim White, are you, Marisa?
No, but that was like, look who he's worked with, you know, who he said. Like,
absolutely.
So those two things kind of surprised me and were maybe the first overlap where I was like, oh, this is not what I thought, you know?
I like that. And so you made a record, The Quickening.
Mm-hmm. The Quickening. So we went in there and we found this studio that was really off. They had no context. Like, they were like, what the hell are you doing?
Literally.
You said, like, turn the machine on, you know? Don't worry about it. And
literally, the conversation was like, he was like, I know you guys are musicians, but what are you doing?
When will you do the songs?
It was like that. And we were both like, don't worry about that. Just press the button and then we'll tell you when to press it off.
Yeah.
And
so we would play like in the morning. We'd go in and we'd play. Mm-hmm. And then we'd kind of have lunch. And then we'd play, you know, maybe we'd play, did we play one? Usually one piece in the morning, one in the afternoon, or maybe a couple or whatever.
Something like that. I mean, it was like we would just play for many hours and let it all roll.
And then later on, then we'd like try to do a new idea, you know, just from the spot. And then we'd excavate the pieces out of that.
Was this sort of like, my reference point here is Can, you know, were these songs that we hear culled from longer sessions?
Yeah.
Thinking more like Michelangelo.
Right.
No, yeah, I don't know anything about Can.
They would record very long sessions, and the songs that the classic songs that people hear are just snippets of very long sessions.
Pretty much how he did it.
And
then,
nice.
Yeah, and then you know, I think we did our first show when we went to Bixit in Chicago.
Yes.
And we did a show, and, yep. And it's like, oh, what are we going to do? Are we going to, for the show, are we going to play the pieces? No. We're going
right.
to start again.
Yeah.
On the night, but you know.
So that was different. Actually, of course, going to be one of my questions that I'm sure you get asked every time you're interviewed. Do you, yeah, when you hit the stage, do you know what you're going to do? Are you
no,
playing?
Never. We don't talk about it.
You don't do greatest hits tours?
Well, he's the greatest hitter, so. Couldn't help it.
I appreciate it. Oh, that's amazing. Well, you're with the right. You're in the hands of the Audio Foundation team on Wednesday at the Whammy Bar. So it's the best of both worlds. That's going to be such a great show. And obviously heading to Wellington on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to play at Meow with the Pyramid Club crew, and then Blenheim.
Yeah, Blenheim.
Have you ever heard of Blenheim before?
Never heard of it until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
And then I found out that my friend's dad was born there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can visit the old...
Then Blenheim's...
The old butcher that he used to work at.
Hearing about Blenheim.
It's really beautiful, and Matt Halregal down there, who puts shows on, is doing the Lord's work for sure, and the Devil's work all at once. And then Portnoy's Festival. We've off-air, we've just been talking about who's playing at Portnoy's Festival, and I've been drooling about the spiritual magic of Portnoy's and Littleton. You're in for a treat. But yeah, this Wednesday's going to be great. And so that was the quickening. And how did you decide, and what happened? How did you come to head back in to do Swallowtail, the second record?
Yeah. Well, so we played a few shows around the quickening, and then there was the Rising Festival in Melbourne.
Oh, nice.
And Jim was sort of the special guest of the festival. Was that something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like they invited me to do a whole lot of stuff.
So yeah.
Artists in residence or something like that, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to go there.
Nice.
And then, you know, that was my first time in Australia. So we played a couple shows around and then booked some time down south of Melbourne at this place on the coast.
Yeah, it was a guy called Nick Huggins who's done a lot of really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the same thing. We just went in and played, but it was a different vibe because we had just come off of, you know, probably playing four or five shows in a row. Mm. So, and I remember that when I flew to Melbourne to see you, it was the first time I had seen you since COVID lockdown. Like we hadn't seen each other in a year or more.
That's
and,
right.
And so the strategy was quite different because I felt like I needed something rather than nothing, after coming off of such a long, long kind of musical fast, you know, of the COVID couple years. So there was actually a little bit of like some themes, and I built out these themes, and then I asked Jim if he wanted to know what they were or not know what they were, and he said he did not want to know what they were. And so then we just played through these things, and they led to different places, you know, but that was sort of the strategy, because the first Melbourne show that we did was pretty high profile show, you know, with that festival, and so that was a little bit different approach. And the songs on Swallowtail are built out of that idea of, like, it wasn't a map, it was more like like a little bit of motif, just to
I can see even based on the track names, there's the Bitterroot Valley Suite 1, 2, and 3. So there was some, obviously, some continual thought.
Well, that was just a really long piece. That was a 14-minute track that we wanted to keep, but needed to put a little bit of grammar in it. So it was actually not.
No, fair enough. don't let me tell you what's going on. The reason I just turned around with a start was that actually someone just texted in, OMG, I went to school with that lovely lady. And
with me?
Yeah. Well, what's, I mean, this is what I'm wondering, is whether they're talking about you or someone else. Sarah Jade is this person's name.
Sarah Jade. What school?
I don't know. Sarah Jade, are you talking about Marisa, and which school are you talking about? This is this is a mystery to solve. Anyway.
I don't have a lot of school in my background.
No, neither do I. In fact, this radio station 30 years ago was to blame. I blame BFM for stealing me from high school. But and what about what else have you both been up to? I mean, you both have fairly active solo and collaborative careers. Jim, you've released two solo records recently. Fantastic.
Yeah, so during Xulurus White, worked a lot with Guy Picciotto from Fugazi, who's my good friend and neighbour. And then at some point we just started putting down different stuff, and then COVID came and I actually learnt to record for the first time. Wish I'd been paying more attention to those microphones that I was picking up all those years. But so that, you know, just sort of started working this stuff, and we ended up making two solo albums.
Yeah.
And we've now got a band actually too.
Oh, really?
We played one show in Switzerland.
That's cool.
We'll have our second show in Chicago. It's called Jim White Trio.
Oh, nice. Who else? Who's the other two?
Guy Picciotto and Colleen Burke.
Oh, nice. I don't know Colleen.
She's from the band We Ragazzi.
Oh, nice.
She's a Chicago band from way back. So that's been interesting, and, you know, it's been fun. It's been really fun, actually.
He's a cool guy to work with, by the sounds of it. Did he do the last records of Vic Chestnut? Am I dreaming about that?
No, that's correct. He was in the band with Vic.
Yeah.
He was in Vic's band and also did the last few records. And, yeah, was very close with him. And also, as a producer, he did, like, four Blonde Redhead records.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Butterfly, that, around that period. And he's done lots of stuff. And then he was, you know, one of the two singer guitarists in Fugazi. And
yeah.
Also before that, Rites of Spring. And we met through a filmmaker called Jem Cohen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Working with him, like, when he moved up to New York. So, anyway, it's been great. It's been really... I guess because I mentioned learning to record myself, I do a lot at home, but also, you know, I started playing some other instruments and trying some different things out, which I probably wouldn't have been able to do unless I could do it in the privacy of my home. You know?
And also you're so in demand as well. Everyone wants to work with you that you probably don't get to be on your own doing that stuff very often.
Yeah, and the more reason to stay at home too.
Yeah. Oh, I also love the Hard Quartet. Very cool record.
Thanks. Pity we didn't come here too.
We tried.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Damn.
I'll be mailing you direct next time. And what about yourself, Marisa? What's been happening with you?
Yeah, well, for the last couple of years, I have been working with this archive of music from Southeast Asia and the Soviet Union and the Islamic and Arabic worlds, all countries that the U.S. has a history of aggression with in my lifetime. And out of the work that I've done in that archive, a record is about to be announced.
Really?
It's going to get announced on Wednesday, in fact.
Whoa.
The first single drops on Wednesday morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will have a word to the BFM Breakfast crew, and I know one of them
is
listening at least.
Great.
And they can drop it like it's hot.
Yeah, because it will be.
That's fantastic. Are you working with other players from the areas, or are you working with...
No. It's a long story, but to make it, you know, in a nutshell, there's a really kind of historic collector of records in the U.S., and he died, and his records were packed away and put in boxes, and I talked my way into access and got to spend a couple weeks with them and record whatever I wanted. And most of these records are field recordings from these areas that were then released on, like, academic, institutional, ethnomusicological records. And some of them are, you know, have graduated into being, like, folkways or UNESCO or something, and then some of them just sort of stayed in that academic conversation.
Yeah.
And I called about, 950 songs, and then from that, to make the record, I cover 9 songs or adapt or arrange or, you know, attempt to address. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you've got plenty more material to work with too. So
yeah, this is considered volume one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is volume one.
Volume one of 50?
Yeah. We'll see. It does feel like a life project.
I wouldn't want to put that same pressure. That's, you know, remember Sufjan Stevens said he was going to do an album for every state, and he only did 2 of them.
Yeah, he didn't do it. We're already talking about how the second volume is going to be, and it's going to not all be me playing. The first volume is me playing because it's sort of introducing, and the project's called The Anthology of Un-American Folk Music, which is a hint as to whose record collection it was.
Fantastic. Well, we'll have to, and anyone who's listening as well, if you've got any historic music from New Zealand or the Pacific that you recommend for both of these two, but for Marisa in particular, yeah. in this vein.
Absolutely.
Love to play you some. I'll scratch my brain on it too. All right, well, thank you so much for coming up. And I'm getting texts saying people are very genuinely sort of overexcited about the show. So I think it's going to be a real feel on Wednesday.
What's the word on the school?
Oh, school. Let's have a look. So the last text I can see says, join the police.
I didn't go to that school.
That was a different person. Let's have a look.
Join the police.
That was a good band.
No updates. Sarah Jade's being very mysterious.
Huh.
Maybe she's talking about someone else that was in the news or something. God, who knows? But well, thanks again. I'm gonna crank this up so people can hear some more. But what's next? I mean, because you're really just here because we all asked you to come, isn't it? I mean, you're not touring for any particular reason other than.
Oh,
it was
Port
an
Noise.
Idea.
Yeah. Port Noise, and then we built the tour, and then
we wanted to play in New Zealand.
Yeah,
we're very excited to get the offer from Port Noise.
Yeah, and
because I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's so great.
And then I'm going to jump over and do my first solo tour in Australia next week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which will be nice.
Cool. And anyone who's going to Port Noise, Marisa's doing a secret side solo.
I am.
Set.
Shh, doing a secret. Shh.
Oh, yeah. Any good secrets, well known, so don't worry.
I'm going back to do Dirty Three in America after this.
Oh, you're doing a big tour, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
First tour of the US for a long time.
I can't remember if I said this on air or off air, but I'll say it again. That last record was fantastic. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. Lovely. Oh, well, thank you again both for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm very, very excited about Wednesday and very, very jealous about Port Noise. Thanks so much.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.